Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? On the podcast What We Spend, guests will, for 1 week, tell us everything they spend their money on.
My son slammed $6 worth of blueberries in 5 minutes.
And everything that makes them feel.
I want to own a house. I want to have a child. But this morning, I really wanted a coffee.
Because at the end of the day, money is always about more than your balance. Listen to and follow What We Spend, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I cannot take another loss to the Braves. I can't take another loss to the
Braves. Like, let's go, Braves!
Dude, I can't take it. I can't take it. Think about this. If the Mets get swept by the Braves, right, they'd be 10 up on the Braves.
Yes.
Braves still what? 500, 500, whatever it might be.
The Phils are one back now, but I think. They want to get last night.
Right now, one back. But let's just say the Mets get swept and then sweep the Phillies.
Yeah.
In theory, that would be great, right? Because the Mets buried the team that's really right there. No.
It's personal.
The Braves punked them. I can't take it anymore.
You guys have been hammered with injuries. Now, I'm not completely sold on all the guys who are nicked up. I mean, you look at it like Vientos, Winker's been banged up. I mean, now you've got 3, 4, 5 arms, not to mention Minter, who's been out the entire season. Guys have been hammered with the injuries.
Yeah, I know. Well, and then the rotation, like you said, I mean, and Montas, by the way, getting him back, you're thinking like, oh, yeah, all right, well, at least he'll be a stable arm. He's been getting lit up.
Oh, Montas?
I'll tell you this.
Yikes.
Wonder Boy, Boy Wonder, whatever you want to call him, David Stearns, he's going to come under the crosshairs in a little bit.
You're going to turn on him already?
No, I love David Stearns, but I hated we both didn't like. Like, I don't think there's anybody in New York that understood the Montas signing. And the excuse early on was, all right, well, he's hurt. Nothing you could do about that. But he's been bringing in pitchers and making the most of them. Well, if Griffin Canning starts to peter out a little bit, and then Montas can't even get out to the minor leagues, and he can't be used right now, all of a sudden, the lab, the boy wonder with the pitching, like, hey, you got to figure this out. The Mets have done a great job. It can't be, well, in April and May, and for the first week in June, everything's good, and then it crumbles down when you have a few injuries. Figure it out.
Now, here's the silver lining. And again, there's no hop. By the way, what is the Montas? It's a 2 years. That's the other part. Was it 2 years, 16? Was it $32 million total? I think I remember.
17 per, but he's got the player option the next year.
So even more than they've gave Manaea the year before, because I believe Manaea had 2 years of 32. Not that you need to go chasing all these numbers. Either way, Montas, 2 years, $34 million. Right now, it just looks absolutely foolish. But he's done enough good things to get a little separation from a bad move or two. I just don't know how you roll Montas out there.
Right.
I mean, I know you got to make a decision. You're going to have to.
Exactly. The only reason is because they have nobody else. Hoff was just telling me, I guess, according to Mike Puma of the Post, Hagemann is going to be the opener tomorrow. That's the other thing. So going into Philadelphia in that ballpark with an opener to start that series for first place in the NL East.
That's a tough way to start a series because you go opener, your bullpen is compromised for the entire series.
We saw this coming with the Senga. When the Senga injury happened, was that a week ago today? Thursday?
Last Wednesday.
That day I came in and told you on the air, I have never felt as good about being a Mets fan in my life than I do right now. Now, I still stand by that because it's more than just the results of this season. It was everything. Soto, Cohen, where they're at, the way that they were playing. Since then, Alonso makes that bad throw. Senga gets hurt. Luckily, they held on to win that game that they almost blew. And then they've been awful ever since. They haven't won a game, and everything's falling apart here. Like, there's got to be some kind of balance. You got to stop the bleeding here.
Well, what do you do? I mean, you know, like I used the term slump buster yesterday. You know, I know what Crash Davis would do. He'd turn the sprinklers on and go out and get himself, you know what I mean? What do you do? You just play ball. You show up. And I know this is going to sound contrived and corny, but I actually mean this. You got to stick to your process, and you got to trust that they're good enough to wake up, because we all know that both teams better than this. But the silver lining, and I do have one for you. All right, I'm going to reiterate, because I said it yesterday as well. I'd rather this now because this gives Cashman and this gives Stearns a clear roadmap on what you need to fix.
Yeah, exactly.
Or what they need to
There's
fix.
There's going to be some urgency come trade deadline, if not before.
I hope so. And I'm being a little tweak here, like a little sixth inning arm or, you know, a little pinch hitter bat. I think both teams need a big move. Both teams, big move.
And I trust that the Yankees will do it. I'm not so sure.
Do you, though?
I do, because, well, I don't know if it's going to be the right one, but they Cashman always, even Jazz last year, like, that was a big move.
Yeah,
now,
that's true.
I don't love Jazz as a player.
Yeah.
I like his personality and those things.
Yeah.
I think he's similar to what they have, which is guys that are going to strike out in big spots, but also hit home runs. So, like, that's just, it drives me up a wall that the Yankees continue to bring in that same player. But it was a big move at the time. Now, how big is Cashman going to go? Who knows? How big do they need to go? We could discuss that in the coming weeks. I'm still unsure about what the Mets are going to do here. Are they going to go take on more salary? Are they going to make big moves? Does Stearns really want to do that? Is he going to stand pat and say, oh, we'll make minor moves? Like, they may need a bigger move to either shake things up or bring a big bat in here. Maybe they need an arm now all of a sudden.
Well, if the Giants were ahead of this and beat everybody to the punch for Devers, now this might be a bit of a foreshadow that this is going to be a very active trading deadline. And again, little tiny reinforcements that, you know, maybe don't get the shine when they happen, but they actually wind up paying some results down the road. Those are nice. But again, I'm talking a front line for me right now, because I think Manaea is going to be great when he comes back. A front line stick for the Mets and a front line stick for the Yankees.
Yeah.
Yankees pitching. Hey, let's not get one thing twisted. While the Yankees can't hit themselves out of a wet paper bank at this point, their pitchers
terrific.
Are... Yeah, but what worries me is that eventually that's probably going to... A little recalibration, and when the pitching takes a slight turn down, you need a more prolific offense, and they don't have it unless they get a big thumping bat.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Steve is in New Hyde Park. What's up, Steve?
Hey, what's up, Sal? What's up, BT? How you
Steve-o?
Doing?
Steve-o! What's happening, buddy?
BT, my question is for you, man.
Okay.
To be honest, I've seen enough from Anthony Volpe. I mean, yesterday he boots a routine double play. I mean, this guy was, again, number one, first-round draft pick.
Yep.
I feel like his defense lately has been really shady. My question to you, do you think, should the Yankees consider trading Anthony Volpe? Down the, if not this year, maybe next year, because, again, they have George Lombard Jr.
Yep.
in the minors.
Uh-huh.
Or do you think they should just try, maybe, I mean, look at his far-fetched trade. Volpe for Bo Bichette.
Listen, forget about specific players. Let me give you my actual general philosophy on Volpe, because I don't think anybody was happier. And, you know, this doesn't really matter to Sal. He said that himself. I love, like, a local story. Like when Mark Jackson was on the Knicks out of St. John's, Del Barton jersey. I just... That stuff means something to me. I love it. So nobody was happier when they drafted Volpe. And also nobody was as quick to say, I mean, this kid's ceiling is not nearly as high as others think. He's never going to be a horrible player, and he's never going to be a great player, all right? So I think what we see now, I think there's probably, I certainly hope and do believe, there's probably 10, 12, 15% more where he can get better. Ideally, you have Lombard at short, and you punt Volpe to second, where he profiles better because of his arm. But I'm also, to be fair to the conversation, if somebody calls me and they want Volpe and somebody else, and it's a massive, you know, platinum trade, I think you do it.
Yeah, I don't think he's untouchable, but here's why I wouldn't consider it. You're trading him at his worst.
At a low period, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think the caller was saying maybe down the road.
In general,
if things...
And by the way, here we go again. Yeah, George Lombard. Okay.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What We Spend is a new podcast that explores something we almost never talk about. Every week, you'll hear a different guest share everything they spend their money on. What We Spend is available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just like Spencer Jones, right? And by the way, I must admit, I was wrong on Spencer Jones. I was wrong. I called him Spencer Jones Moss in reference to Kevin Moss, who actually did come up at the big league level and produce for an extended period. Spencer Jones, nowhere to be found. I'm not saying Lombard's going to be good or not. I have no idea.
Yeah.
What I will say is let's not now get in the habit of kicking Volpe out for the next guy who you have no idea about. I think the Yankees mishandled Volpe from day one.
Yep.
I think they could have sent him back down that rookie year. I don't have a problem. You want to say, okay, we trust him, win the job out of spring training. When he's struggling like that, you could have sent him back down. They didn't. And now they're living with a player who is okay, would you say average? Sometimes below average, sometimes above average for a shortstop, I guess. Sometimes.
Yeah.
But he was supposed to be a star, which is why I called him the other day a bust. I don't know why we haven't used that term yet. Now you, BT, to your credit, you gave up on the high potential for him years ago.
I did not.
I still believe that there was more there. And maybe more importantly than either of us is the Yankees organization believed he was going to be an all-star, big-time shortstop.
Yeah.
He has not been that. It's year three, and I don't see him getting definitively better.
Yeah.
You want to look at some of the numbers incrementally better?
Yeah. You can cherry pick and, you know, you can say, well, his first year he had 20 home runs, 20-plus home runs, 20-plus steals, gold glove. Last year, first real big moment, grand slam of the World Series, and I was there for that. That was a cool moment. But there's been too many fluctuations where it's not correlating to first-round talent. And the expectations of what we all had for Volpe, and I'm sure the Yankees would agree with this off the record, all right, it has not been met. And I think the graver concern is that there's not enough visible evidence that that's going to actually change, all right? So you say you think the Yankees mishandled him, sending him down. I would not say, at that point, right?
Yeah. Either way.
Well, but he played so well in the spring. Remember, that was supposed to be Peraza's job. He hit like 470. He looked like a stud. So I think he earned the job like Jeter did when Fernandez got hurt in 96 here. So they were okay with that. And because he caught, especially his first year, caught the baseball so well, he was reliable for a young kid. So I don't think that they should have sent him down. I don't think that they messed that up. Where they have messed him up, they have not fixed this young man's approach. And I don't understand it for the life of me. How can we, who didn't take a swing in the majors or the minors, how can we sit on our couch and say, slider outside, get him that fastball upstairs, he's going to foul it back. He is so easy to pitch to. How can they not? His front shoulder flails out still. He's still jerking it to the third base dugout. I'm not trying to crush the kid. But these little basic things that have not been fixed by the Yankees, that reflects poorly on the Yankees, even maybe more than Volpe.
Casey is calling from Eastport, New York. What's up, Casey?
Hey, Case.
Hey, fellas. Thanks so much for taking the call.
You got it.
What's up, Case?
I want to talk about Volpe. I feel like a lot of people are going after him, asking for him to be traded, DFA'd. I think it's a little ridiculous. I think he's shown a lot of offensive upside this season, and we know that he's got that gold glove caliber defense in his bag. And I think it's really just like a mental approach thing. I think he needs some time in the cages with a hitting coach to really hone his craft.
You don't think he's doing that, Case? Hold on, bud. I'll let you finish. You don't think that they're doing that? He's got the most advanced, you know, analytical data points. I mean, this is all they do in the majors. Of course they're trying to fix his swing. It's not working.
Well, I get that, but also you look at his offensive profile, and he's got a 105 OPS plus this season.
Okay,
he's on pace to double his home run total. For me, the main concern is his conviction and his deftness on the base pass. He's on pace to steal almost half as many bases as he did last season.
Yeah,
and he's getting caught a lot more.
Yes, he is. That's true.
Dude, but Casey, you just brought it up. Now, I do think, and thank you for the call. I do think this should not be all about Anthony Volpe.
No, I'm with you on that.
I mean, this is way bigger, way
Bellinger,
bigger. Oh, my God, come on.
Jazz.
This is a whole team thing.
Wells.
Yeah. Hey, look at the lineup. This is a whole team. The construction of the team.
Center field.
All of it. This is not about Anthony Volpe. It's not to pick on Volpe. Even with me calling him a boss, like, that's just bringing reality, at least my reality, to the situation with Volpe relative to the expectations. Doesn't mean he can't be a serviceable player. And it also doesn't mean that it's his fault and he's got to go. You got to trade him. No, come on now. I do worry about his mental aspect of the game.
That's one thing I don't worry about with him. Well, I think he's wired the right way.
But then how do you excuse the error last night? That's a
funk. It's not a pass. It's not an excuse. You got to make that play. He laid back. He let the ball play
him.
But
you don't think it's him maybe putting too much pressure on himself or like feeling the heat, whether it's the media or fans or the team struggling?
Yeah.
Like, that's a routine play that a gold glove shortstop makes in his sleep.
You know, I think that that's all. And they asked Boone this. You know, he played some of the Boone Cup from last night, the post game. They asked him this a lot last night, and they've asked him this a few times the last few games. And if he doesn't have an answer, I sure as hell don't, because I'm not a major league manager. They've tried to get to the bottom of, like, is the team pressing? Is it mental? Listen, I know we do this for a living, and, you know, we get some things right, we get some things wrong. You like some things we say, you don't. It's all good. It's part of the game. But the one thing that I can't do, and I really almost don't even try, unless it's like Mitchell Robinson at the free throw line, something like something, or Marquette, what's the kid who lost the jump shot?
Marquette Fultz.
Thank you. Fultz from Washington a couple of years ago, where he's got this crooked, banged up jump shot because he's in his own head. How do we really delineate what's mental and what's physical? I don't even try.
Well, okay, but
I don't know.
I'm sure. Understood. I just feel like this team is pressing because they're better than what they've shown. And Volpe, in particular, you could almost see it on his face even after his at-bats. He gets so frustrated. We talk about it with Alonso, similar, where sometimes where Alonso, especially last year, the last 2 years, when he's in that funk, he's got that beaten down look on his face, and it's almost a self-doubt thing. And with Volpe, a younger player who hasn't had the success he was expecting to have, hasn't had the success the fans and the organization were expecting him to have, and then you make an error like that, listen, like, that's not a physical thing. Anthony Volpe should make that play 100 times.
Guaranteed, did it 50,000 times at Del Barton, taking practice grounders.
So it makes me think that there's a little bit of just, you're instead of just reacting, you're thinking. You cannot think as an athlete.
I certainly think, and you're right, I'm happy you said that's not all about Volpe. I'm like, please, I mean, so many things wrong with this team right now. It's not him entirely. But it's like, you know, you get, I don't want to say the yips, but you get in your own head on the, I'm talking about pros, on the green, you know, your three putt, you just, your stroke's not feeling great, or you lose the strike zone. They're human. They are not impenetrable robots who are immune to outside sources and forces, both, really. So these guys, they do have some brain lapses, and it does get to them. That tightens them up. I think, though, the better example with Volpe was the night before when he rolled over an outside slider that was 7 inches off the plate, because to me, that is a microcosm of wearing it and maybe trying too hard, because it was almost like it was predetermined before he stepped foot in that box, he was jumping on something early. And generally, when you're not hitting well, you try to jump on something early because you have a fear, maybe not major leaguers, but a reluctance of getting in the hole. When you're rolling, you're like, slider, I'm not swinging at that. Give me something I can hit, you know? Whereas if you're a little jumpy and you're, you know, 1 for 19 and you're like, I don't want to get in a hole 1-2, let me just try to jump on something early. That's what I thought he did there. That to me was a visible sign of maybe pressing.
I think he's lacking confidence.
There's no doubt about it. He is, and I don't think he's alone right now, both the Yanks and the Mets.
And it's hard to have true confidence when you haven't had the ultimate success. And Volpe in 3 years has been way too up and down to really, like, I bet there's a part of himself that's still doubting. Like,
am I really great enough?
Yeah.
I think that's an outstanding point, because he doesn't have a database like Aaron Judge. Even Bellinger won an MVP.
Yeah.
Like, and
or Alonso, who we brought up before.
No doubt. Or Alonso, or Soto, or Lindor, or anybody that's a good, accomplished New York baseball player, even if they haven't won MVPs, but they've been on an all-star team, they've had big years, they know eventually they're going to get back there. But Volpe's never hit that height yet, so he's still chasing. He doesn't have that database of experience. Good point.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What We Spend is a new podcast that explores something we almost never talk about. Every week, you'll hear a different guest share everything they spend their money on. What We Spend is available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.